And welcome, everyone, to Adventures into Reality with your host, Andrew Bartis. We are on the Mega Giant BBS Radio, and I am joined by Santi Espeliqueta and Danielle Lin, my intrepid co-hosts. Welcome to this wonderful and auspicious show, both of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us, Andrew.
We had an incredible marathon of a show yesterday, broadcast over multiple networks. And I want to talk about that a second. We are going to be opening up for calls, and Doug will be asking you what kind of question you're having, because we are here to answer multiple questions. This Saturday show is dedicated to the audience. Not only do we do question and answers in our private webinars, we will be taking readings for this show, as well as specific topic discussion for galactic history. I've been getting so many demands about people that want to ask specific questions on specific parts of history. And this Friday night show, anchored here on BBS at this 9 o'clock time zone, is going to be the place, the time. This is where we go to enter the Batcave and find out what we need to know. So, Santi and Danielle, why don't you give us some of your thoughts about what you experienced in yesterday's incredible show with Rebecca Cope, Rod Class, and Jennifer Williams.
Sure. Did you want to go first, Santi, maybe?
Go ahead. Go right ahead, Danielle.
Well, it was a very intense show, but definitely one that had to be aired. You know, I've gotten to experience several things myself firsthand with court systems just being like it just feels like they cascade on you, and it's almost unbelievable. Like if you're witnessing it yourself, you just see the corruption like at that level, and it's incredible. So listening to that show, I mean, I'm hoping it helps give a lot of people clarity who have gone through very similar things. What about you, Santi?
Well, that for me was really an eye-opener. It was amazing to see how collaboration is bringing us forth together. It's not against any machine. It's just showing us that we are sovereign and that we can, each of us, reclaim our sovereignty. And it is in the law, and there's a group of people that can show us that, and we all together can reclaim our sovereignty and, you know, go to what we all want. We don't want war. The war is what they want to keep us where they want to keep us. And it was so clearly put that I get chills just by thinking about it.
Absolutely.
And that last hour where we summed it up and we came live onto BBS and broadcast into AIB Network and as well in Google Hangouts, we were in such unique form. I really advise for people that haven't listened to yesterday's show, you don't necessarily need to go and listen to the whole 4 hours, but it would be quite beneficial. The knowledge and wisdom is there. But that last hour was a massive sum up of knowledge that took Rod Class 16 years of research to do. And he hands this information out freely for anyone that wants to study the nature and style of a corporate government and what it's doing to hijack you at the account level. Before the show, we were all talking, and I was making a clear point that the individual people that have open accounts on them, from your birth certificate and your bank and the bonds that are traded on you, you can't even go to court. There are some people that can't even go to court anymore because they have no more credit left on their account. 300-something million people, and over 300, the 97% of all of the people in the country literally have no credit left on their accounts. And according to the War Powers Act, they were supposed to repatriate all that money and repay everything that they used from 1934, which they have never done. And it's so key to understand why we are seeing this immigrant flux, why it is in the propaganda news now, because they will have brand new Social Security cards from countries that haven't been robbing them blind for 200 years. That's why. And that's some tough energy to chew on when we begin to realize that our sovereignty is literally taken down to the credit of what this human body will do in its estimated lifetime based off of governmental statistic products that we never get to see. Ever get to see. Yeah, that's a toughie. Anyways, we are at a point where we could take callers if we have callers. Doug, you can just go ahead and bring them in, and we're going to fire off questions. I will be bringing up a couple comments about what's going on with Tropical Storm Noguri that had just hit Japan. If people would like to go and start studying what Tropical Storm or Hurricane Typhoon Nagumi did as it hit Japan, when you go and look at the satellite feeds, you will literally see it hit the island and then literally a massive flow of energy ricochet out of the upper China, lower Korea area and burst exactly towards the Pacific Northwest. This is an example of massive scalar weapons that are trying to dismantle collective consciousness that was going to replenish and refuel the island of Japan. People have been asking me what's going on kinetically in the energy forms of the collective uncollective weather patterns. And some of the things that I've been knowing is the formations of these particular hurricane patterns aren't being scalar manipulated like they were in years past. They're doing very targeted, rapid ascension of these typhoons and hurricanes with specific scalars from the consciousness of the people, because there are a tremendous amount of people who are very afraid when they get 6, 10, or 15 days of warning. So it's really, really, really important that people see that the weather is another form of propagandic interaction. Santi or Danielle, did you guys have any comments you wanted to make about yesterday's show?
Well, I think one thing I will comment on, like, for the people who haven't watched it yet, you know, the show, it's one of those shows, one of those topics that has the ability to be a very inflaming topic, to be a very, you know, like, it gets you viscerally, you know, like, cause you feel, especially, you know, for those of us who feel like, you know, injustice or feel really upset about things, my word of advice is don't approach it from that angle. You know, you don't have to feel, you know, don't let it get to you. Don't let it anger you and rile you up. Like, let's not, you know, feed into anger porn, fear porn. Just the idea when you listen to this, to these recordings, is allow yourself to absorb that information on a higher level. Allow yourself to really take in the message without that reactionary part of you kind of going off, because that's going to allow you to do something with it. That's going to allow you to turn around and make those choices, those decisions that are going to be impactful. Okay. That are going to help you reclaim your sovereignty, because anything else is just going to, well, you know, potentially feed you back into the cycle. And the idea here is just glean what you can from that message. So I'm just putting that out there, and specifically because I know several people who will listen to that and just be really overwhelmed. But you don't have to be. It's okay. Just listen.
Take the time to listen. That's 16 years of wisdom that came from hard study from Rod and teaching. And sometimes taking that information takes a while to digest and understand that this has been going on a long time. And for us to begin to unravel it, we have to come together in a way like we did yesterday and start sharing all of the different toolboxes we've been assembling over the last 100 years of sovereignty.
Okay. So we have our first caller, Karen from Canada, on the line. She's an LCE member and wanted to ask a question.
Karen, are you there?
Yep.
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Okay, what is your question, and welcome to the show?
Thanks. You've gone over the 633 levels of experience we can have here with the 7 chakras and the 9 energy levels in the body. Mm-hmm. I've never heard in any of the shows you actually go through all 9 and name them. You've talked about the blue body, which I think is one of them. I'm wondering if you could go through all the 9 levels of energy experience.
That would probably take me a lot longer than an hour's show. There are 7 colors of experience. And each, if you want to know or find out about the 9 bodies of experience, look into the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Ba, the Ka, the Ra. All of that is according to the positions of the moon and the sun, determining at what layer of experience your full soul, your light body, is interacting with the frequency of light that the astral pattern of the sun. So you have astral shadows that are created, or blue bodies, or that can be in different color spectrums just outside of our I am presence awareness. And those are what I call your spiritual entourage, which are many different versions of you in this time frame that are resolving things in different color spectrum. That's why there's 63 different ways to experience each thing. So if one is in a ka moment, positive sun energy, or I mean, I'm using that reference, and I will give a full explanation. More than likely, that'll be in text. It'll be much more powerful when people see that. You are in light, you are in dark, you are in shadow. Those are the first three experiences. And then we go through the neutrality of all three colors, where you can be a neutral light, a neutral dark, or a neutral neutral. That's at the fourth. And then you have your blue body expression, which is how you function with spiritual commerce with all other solar system that you exist in or have existed previously and have a sovereign soul shards, a part of the solar encrustment, not necessarily any of the planetary encrustments. So the 63 layers of experience here include all other layers of experience we can coexist on. So to describe the 63, the nine bodies, to literally understand, it's the experience that drives the volume of density. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's deep. I'll have to re-listen to that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To go more, we have a sensual body. That is when we are in a heart space and we are intending to create a frequency of high learning, high energy, healing, but not necessarily a sexual result, but it can tap into the visceral body, the sympathetic and parasympathetic, and begin to release things that need that level of sensual trust, where there's a touch over any part of the body that doesn't cause sexual arousal, but causes energetic stimulus arousal at the hypothalamus, and then ultimately at the pericardium, where the pericardium begins to let go of its mistrust. Because those are the waters around the pericardium that create the greatest programs of betrayal and self-hatred. And self-hatred is generally what self-hatred and betrayal are what generally prevent people from going into a sensual experience, is the betrayal has been too much. Then your sexual body, which is procreative born entity origin, that's a whole different layer of experience. When one is into the non-recreational purpose of sacred sexuality with integrated sensuality, our sexual bodies can be vehicles of massive information exchange, depending on the type of grounding partner you have or what type of system you are using, whether it's tantra or any other expression of sacred sexuality that involves sensuality as the root of the healing. You have another layer of experience, and then you have the combination of your elemental spirit, that which is manifested here on Earth in the original fetus. And that particular layer of experience we get to re-experience when we want to be the innocent and inner child, and we let go of the adult world, and we just say, I'm going to go fun and have play and play in my sandbox. That's another experience. So that's the general explanation. I would like to do a much further, but that would take up more than this hour just to help people understand you can be in all nine layers of your body simultaneously and be aware in meditation, but you aren't able to have full 63 layers of experience because one's third eye hasn't fully opened to the pericardium in sacred space. And that's what breaks most people of having full spirituality, is because they're not giving themselves the trust to open the sacred space of the pericardium so the third eye can coexist in the heart and the mind, instead of the mind having to interpret all information and ask questions to the heart.
Wow, that's deep. Thank you for that.
You are welcome. That's what I'm here to do. I mean, this is BBS Radio. This is the mega station that we're doing this on, and we're offering this this as a thing for people to come out and start asking questions. Did you listen to yesterday's Sovereignty show?
Most of it. I was out for part of it.
Okay. Well, do you have any thoughts or expressions on that?
No. Well, I'm from Canada, so our legal system's a bit different than yours. I'm actually not sure how much of that applies up here.
All of it applies. You are almost identical, and the language is different, and maybe 1.5-2%. I've done a series of law shows with a man named Jaguar, who's a Canadian non-government organization that actually has the Platinum Party. You can look it up in Canada. And they have much of the same thing Rod was talking about. The exact same things go on through Canada. They're a duplicate of the United States, except there's a lot more ownership over your credit, and your credit goes to a different coffer accounts. That's really the only big difference. And then some languaging in the way they dealt with the tribes.
It looks like the legal system is just a big puppet show.
Absolutely. Really. Just a big stage show.
That's a lot to digest. Fortunately, I don't have much to do with the legal system at this point, knock on wood. But yeah, it was deep.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to move on to the next caller. Santi, you want to bring in the next LCE caller?
I'm going to bring on Scott from Ohio, although, you know, I did want to add that. I don't know. Can I ask a quick question, Andrew?
Sure.
How does all this explanation relate to the fact that on Earth we have three different timelines? You know, how does it tie up in any way?
Sneaky question. Yes, it does. I like sneaky questions. It's a matter of how obtuse I want to make my answer. And if I'm going to go be Zenfu Grandmaster of the obvious and state the obvious and then people not get it, there are three timelines. The center timeline is the graduation timeline. The above timeline is where spirit guides exist or multi-temporal beings exist who try to manipulate the lowest timeline, which is where the fresh spirits who are coming into our solar system come to get their very first part of the school of Hard Knocks. They're more astral entities and or existing in lower astral entity parasitic forms, entering into animal forms like bees, ants, gophers, mice, rats, and the predatory prey. And then as they get more powerful, they go into more sentient species like cats, dogs, whales, and all the other layers of experience where they can then begin to have a multidimensional expression that may reflect in any other worlds that they lived on. But Earth, at its lower timeline, has invested into many, many sentient beings who have not lived on any other world. She has been doing this privately, separate of the incarnation grid that's controlled by the Archons, where she has brought in literally spirits, brand new spark of soul in this universe, completely blank slate, and has brought them into the nurturance of there. And they have gone through the cycle of extinction, meaning they get to be a part of a species from the very beginning to the very end. And Earth has had many extinction epochs created by off-world and on-world people. So the lower timeline is a way that Earth can manipulate stuff that's going on in the rest of the universe to keep their overall mission of her bringing new life and cycling through new life, no matter what's happening on the graduation timeline. Does that answer your question?
This definitely answered the top, the lower one, fantastic. But we'll leave the top line for another time, maybe.
Well, you got to understand that's where the ascended masters work, and they can only function through us at one degree of separation. They can't physically manifest here because their rules have changed. That means the upper timeline has to essentially let go of the torch of eldership and enter the graduation timeline and no longer be interferers, but be embodies. The embodiment, the I am presence. So that means many of these ascended masters are going to be incarnating into bodies at this time. And they're going to have to be incarnating what they've been trying to fix for so long. So it's like bringing an emergency mechanic to a broken down car. They're getting born in, you know, as the mechanic. It's reaching the emergency thing. And they have to go through everything that we went through as little kids while we are taking the torch of eldership. And then the new torch of eldership will be handed to those that wanted to go in the be on both the graduation and elder timeline, which is on the upper, which is those people who have truly manifested the majority of the subtle energy skills, sensuality, sexuality, blue body, and allow themselves to have multidimensional medium communications through many different expressions of their DNA, whether they want to work with Arcturians or Pleiadians or Earth Elementals or Dragons or whatever. You make your choice into the type of magical language that you're going to express during that process.
Fantastic.
Could I ask a question
kind of
related to that stream? So these masters that come back and, you know, incarnate into these bodies and such, is there, you know, like you said, they have to go through our experiences. Is there a risk of them kind of falling off their master status or their consciousness?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have any known example, like maybe from the past that we would have known of people like this? Okay, Mozart,
Beethoven.
He was one. Huh.
Kurt Cobain.
Oh wow. And what is there something specific that makes them fall off that they kind of all fall into? Is it just getting
timeline
like
genocide, making sure that they can't manifest or change the world? Every time somebody did telekinesis in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, in the early 70s, they ended up suicided or brought into the projects.
I see. Is there a way for, let's just say most people being able to like people who aren't necessarily sensitive to energy, is there any distinguishing ways to recognize a reincarnated master? Or
generally they're crystal children, but that doesn't mm-hmm. guarantee. And by the time they reach 8, 9, or 10, they won't be any definition that is even crystal, indigo, or anything else. They'll be prodigal children, geniuses that are waiting to remember their race memory. Some may still be asleep sheeple. I mean, I have regularly scanned the world, and there are as many as 6,000 ascended masters in bodies now that have no idea that they're ascended masters. Huh. They're just working at their debt management job or their office job or their own small business.
Wow.
No clue.
That's incredible.
Or they have an itching, and their family doesn't allow them to listen to shows like this. Not allow, because they'd be ridiculed if they did, and they have to listen to it in secret.
Sure. I hear that's a common thing. Some of the people who listen to this show, these shows in general, face, you know, because for some people it's just so far out there. But when you feel that, you know, truth, when you listen to the show, it's hard to stay away.
Exactly. So we have another Ashley from Florida.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm fabulous, thank you. I'm really excited to be talking to you.
I'm excited to be talking to you, too. So what question do you have?
I have many questions, but I guess I'll start with the one that I'm most interested about hearing is, are there any stargates that you know of in Florida? And if maybe you could talk about how they're blocked or how to unblock them and what I could do or what people can do?
Okay, stargates in Florida. Yes, there are stargates all in and around Florida, but we have to understand what a stargate is. A stargate is where a series of nexus points come together, separate of Earth's ley line, separate of the false sacred geometry system that's trying to overlay the second thing, the Earth natural Earth grid. And these are where our DNA frequency and vibrations from the multitudes of people that are living on land and then those sentient beings with DNA living in the ocean create a resonant frequency of remedy and resolve and create a gateway to the thousand dimensions that are requiring resolve from those commonly shared karmic interactions that those millions of beings that are having. So a stargate can literally only be opened by a frequency of remedy and resolve that allowing anybody that's in that DNA expression to have access to that gateway so that their entourage or their different blue bodies or different experiences can go direct experience something instead of having it blocked where only one little tiny sliver of them can go in there and have one or two colors of experience, but the Stargate allows them to go in and have the full layers of experience. And that's a very different explanation than many, many people out there in the communities and the industry that's out there. But I'm just going to lay it out as it is. And then there are natural womb gates, which are very different than stargates. These are naturally produced by the Earth's original centric ley lines in alignment with the Akashic expression, also in alignment with the direct astral patterns of other astral cities on other planets. So you create a three-phase gateway through these womb chakras that allows the womb of another planet, sacred masculine or feminine, to have direct tubular interaction of energy, so massive amounts of DNA wisdom can be transported from one particular section of galaxy to the other, and that's Earth's original purpose as a seventh dimensional galactic seed planet. And then we have specific stargates that are created by technology, and such as Montauk or the different types of gateway they're created by the different types of dimensional warping drives or time travel drives. And those are generally protected or unprotected. An unprotected one does massive amounts of damage to the other experiential natures of those around it. And then the protected one is like stealth or cloaking, where they can go from one dimension to the other seamlessly and totally invisible so that they don't interfere with the timelines of expression and accidentally a butterfly smacks into their UFO and the whole timeline is changed. So those are stargates. Now, what can you do with them and what is in and around Florida? In all reality, it takes you with vision above your home that go and get a map of your home and start dowsing. Start using pendulums and say, where are these energies? Access them remotely and honor them. You're not ready. Most people aren't ready to project their minds into a stargate. if you're meant to be in there, you'll have the resonant DNA frequency, and it'll just suck you in there, and you may be really resistant of it based of fear, but that will be your experience as you get more and more. If you're meant to be there, boom, you're sucked in because it's your DNA frequency. It's the heart space that keeps you bonded here. And if you have a sensual partner, be it male or female, dog or cat, it can keep you grounded so that you can stay in the deeper experience simultaneously. It's like bilocating. And we got to think that these gateways are multidimensional. They're not, you can't think of them as single timeline, single frequency. They're omnidirectional, universal expressions of modality of transport. So space and volume and distance mean nothing to them.
How would you say a Stargate, for instance, or what you described, is maybe different or similar to what somebody might think of as a wormhole?
That's technology created.
Okay, technology created. Like
no, but you got to realize science and spirituality are one and the same once we get off this world. You can have a spiritual experience manifested strictly through the photonic technology of light. And there are thousands upon thousands of species that use that. And it's the turn of your experience if you'd rather have a natural photonic light experience or a mechanical photonic light experience. And stargates can be created and mimicked in many different ways because there's so many different species out there that experience their reality so different than the rest of the universe. So it isn't any one way of describing it, because you could have a fully spiritual being that has never manifested in human body using technology so that it can manifest here and not get caught in the contractual obligations. And that is the other way that technology and spirituality can mimic each other or do things that are good or bad for a different environment. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, it actually led me to, we mentioned pets and also contracts, and I have some stuff written down that one of my questions was about soul contracts and pets and parents and how that might relate. And I'm personally experiencing life situations where it feels to me like there are certain beings in my life that may or may not be benefiting me at the moment, but like I realize that it's there to serve a purpose for a lesson. But I don't necessarily, I don't know. I was hoping that maybe you could explain how soul contracts relate to pets and parents or people in our lives, maybe.
All right. There isn't a general way to explain that because each individual person has a multidimensional puzzle. Pets are a part of your life before you come in. I actually have described this quite a few times. I can't remember where it was, but it was somewhere in early 2013 where I must have gone an entire month on soul family, soul contracts. So there are quite a few. I'll see what I can do about pulling those up and getting the note of it. But we come in with agreements from many different localities around the universe, and pets are part of your soul family, because there are people that may be in your soul family who don't want to be in two legs but are still going to be around you, so that the frequency and comfort of that person and soul family is there. And maybe that person who didn't want to be in two human legs just wants to be a cat their whole life. You know, I had a particular lady that I read was the ass kicker of the universe, got revenge for a million years, created incredible massive changes, and when she was done, she said, screw it, I'm going to be a cat on the beach in Florida for the next 60 years. And that's what she was until she came back into a human body.
Wow, that's great. Can I ask you one last thing about if maybe you could talk about Serpent Mound in Ohio, and I'll let you get on to the next person.
Serpent Mound in Ohio. I've actually answered that question quite a few times.
Have you?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I lived in Ohio, so it's okay. I'll give it a quick answer, and I'll try to point out where those are in the archives. Serpent Mound was a meteor impact area where the natives and indigenous populations took over, because it was a bowl shape that had magnetic particles all throughout it. And what that means is it's basically that big Serpent Mound area before they built the mound on it was a giant magnetic bowl. And we are human beings of mostly water and magnetic materials in us. We also have a bioelectrical frequency. So it is like a nursery for spiritual experiences there. And when they begin drumming, which is a ultra low frequency and an ultra high frequency based off of the conscious interaction, and then you add the foot stamps of each person, which is adding a whole nother layer. It allows that space, allows the 63 layers of experience to be very present there. The natives call it the veil between two worlds is very thin there. So it is a special place, and there are other places around the world like that. The Serpent Mound was built for many reasons, but it is really a consciousness exploration vehicle so that those people in those areas that in those super experiences can literally ride inside the snake of experience of all of Earth and go and find their ancestors that are locked out of the past, present, or future. Those people that use that area, and it's got a long history, but before the great erasures, of recovering people that were lost in time. And when we begin to go through our awakening, and the Serpent Mound and several other mounds are brought back to some semblance of positive spiritual use, with some of their materials being fixed and taking care of some of the other spiritual issues there, some like ghosts and stuff, those machines, those things will literally be allowing people to go back into those great experiences. And begin to be a place of intensive healing, too. Intensive healing. And I advise anyone that's close to the area to pilgrimage there. It's absolutely worth it.
Definitely. Thank you.
You are welcome. And Santi, do we have another caller?
Absolutely, Andrew. We're going to take in line one, Scott.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Scott. How you doing? Andrew. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Southern Ohio. This is Scott, and I had talked to you before about the little boy that had cancer, and his parents come out west and met you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, what I was calling about was the same thing. Actually, here in Ohio, the mound system and how there was 50,000-plus mounds in Ohio. I was what we've studied, I have studied on Serpent Mound, was that the representation of the DNA of humanity, and which also give the building blocks of existence. And the ones that I was just trying to get your confirmation, if you could find in the records, was the Arunat, were they the gods that built Serpent Mound? Is that the name of those?
No. I'm going to challenge a lot of what's going on in understandings here. So what I'm going to advise for anyone that wants to know about specifically Serpent Mound is to look up a person named Dr. Mike Castle. Now, Dr. Mike Castle, I've done quite a few shows with him on Wolf Spirit Radio, Rents Radio, and a number of others. He is the foremost person on understanding the spirituality of all the mound builders. He is a scientist by trade, and he is the original person that put the actual chemical formula of all the chemtrails out to a national audience, and that is his job as a chemical engineer. And he was heavily attacked for doing that layer of truth, and in one of his new expressions is going through all of these different native expressions in mound building and getting to a semblance of understanding that they had a technology that was passed on to their oral tradition of people. And literally, it's the people that made all those machines connected into the fires of creation, speaking to their past, present, and future ancestors to make sure there was a system of consciousness elemental expressions that could make sure people could have multidimensional gateways protected from the system that was going to be invading over many tens of thousands of years. You understand that it wasn't built by people. It was meant as a plan B. This stuff is coming down. The bad people are coming. And you have about 18,000 years to build these 50,000 mounds all over the world as a legacy to all those future people who are going to be locked out of connecting to their ancestors, because America will be 50 states. And these mounds will be bowled over. There'll be roads and bridges over them. There'll be complete disrespect for them. But the people that are still outside of time and still functioning with these different mound systems can begin to etch their way back out of eternity and start experiencing us. And then we can begin experiencing them and manifest the mounds to literally come up from the underground, raise back up into their honored positions. Who built them? Like I said, it was the individual people. And one of the things that you learn from Mike Castle is that they figured out – what was magnetic rock, what was copper, and they would stack crystal, copper, and magnetic rock on top of each other in all of these different mounds. And you can even find the same stuff in the serpent mound. This is common technology. Now, from a simple electronics thing, what happens when you have those three things together?
You have a
weak bioelectric field. Okay.
Right.
And then they would wrap copper beads in a spiral around it and give it a right or a left twist to it. Now imagine 30 or 40 of these stacked rocks, all with a right twist in a spiral in the entire length of the serpent mound. With the bioelectric field of 4,000 people stamping their feet on the ground in a massive magnetic bull. You have energetic motion. You have the different rays of energy that are coming through. And each person's brain and each person's heart is a multidimensional experiential magnet that allows the different layers of expression to flow through. So this technology that they was handed to them as consciousness exploration technology so that they can literally build their homes and communities around these things. And they're really easy to build, really easy to build. You can go into any of the big glacial rivers all throughout Ohio and find rock that is heavily magnetic and rock that has a tremendous amount of copper and stack them on top of each other and just let yourself feel it.
And most all the mounds are located along rivers or water streams. Are those the energy source as the water moves past that?
It's the same concept as the pyramids. Every single pyramid has running water underneath it, running water and limestone, because it creates a much more powerful magnetic field when you have running water, and water is extremely programmable and creates energy. Have you listened to the show I did on cavitation?
Yes, I've listened to about every show that you've done.
Water. Once you realize cavitation and water, and that the pyramids are an energy machine that take frequency out of extremely low frequency out of the plate tectonic movement and convert it into sound frequency, and then sound frequency uses the water that's below it at high bioelectrical frequency and compresses that sound frequency so that it spreads over many different dimensions. And the purpose of the pyramid is to be a consciousness exciter or expansion system so that people aren't stuck into a degradation but into an advancement just by being around these things. And that's the same thing that the mounds are, but just at a smaller level. You need a river, you need copper, you need magnets, and you need something to make a right spin to it. And guess what? You have the same technology as the pyramids, and it's not a pyramid, it's a mound that one family unit can build in a few years. With little influence from off-world sources.
Okay, so this is spiritually created. So all of these things are they been taken over by other sources?
I mean, many of the mounds were taken over by the sacred geometry systems, and the vast majority of every church in the United States or Mesoamerica is built on top of a sacred mound.
Right.
So, yes, they were taken over because they were in the nexus points and they needed to be taken over many hundreds of years if you were going to hijack the entire Earth grid system by making people believe they have to dream where the cities are instead of being free-roaming dreamers.
So, and then the Masonic, all the temples and all their lines, did they take over the mounds? Did they place them within those grids?
Think of them having a map to where they all were and put a piece of trace paper on top of it. So you're putting a governor, like an engine governor, on top of the old system and then building a whole new system around that so that people could never figure out what the real one was.
Right. Right. And that's what I've been trying to figure out. Seems to be my goal or whatever I was put here for. I've lived in these mound systems my entire life.
I grew up in Northeast Ohio, and I lived next to the Cuyahoga, the Chagrin River, all of the Geauga counties. So I have seen 10,000-year-old Stone Age tools pulled up out of farms. I personally found ancient stone knives and axes and warheads all over the glacial refuge areas. They're everywhere. And I can find actual pieces of exampled technology in caves. Okay?
Yes.
Because there are particular cave systems there. They're not giant caves, like Ash Cave. You ever heard of Ash Cave just outside of Ashland, Ohio?
Yes.
It's a giant bowl and a hole in the ground. And when you start drumming there, the whole walls start to psychically resonate. And there's a tremendous amount of magnetic material all throughout there.
So are the thing that I'm wondering, Andrew, do we need to take the Masonic, the bear grid system and reconstruct that into what we're trying to do?
That'll be part of the cleanup process when our world goes through a change, and that is where all of the jobs are going to be. Energy cleanliness systems, people that are going to start volunteering a few hours here and there during their healing process or more to go and be a part of an energy cleanup team where these old systems and buildings used to be. And there'll be technological assistance as well as much of other, but that's a several year job for an entire planet of people. Okay. Several years, even with the most advanced technology. So now, you can continue to work with it and do the good work. Just kind of understand, until you can put together how the energy is transferred from capacitor to capacitor city. This is something that I know is where all the big capacitor centers are that transform dream energy into usable data for the system of domination and control, and then puts it back into another system and then tries to filter out of it even more stuff. It's like having one system on AC, one system on DC, and a totally another system, and you want to step all the powers up into your third system. That is where the greatest amount of work, where light workers or pathway workers or energy grid workers can start looking at where the capacitance builds up and diffuse them based off of the incoming weather patterns, because that is literally what scalar weapons do, is diffuse energy before or after storms come to strengthen them. And that's why when the pressure millibars drop really fast and they hit you with scalar weapons, your shoulder hurts, because literally they're changing the pressure so fast. Psychically, you can take the power out of a storm and the power of the scalar weapons and allow the energy of the land to naturally build up and release. Create protective bubbles over these things.
Ask you another one. I've mapped out some of their lines, and one of the lines here where I live locally, I live right on the Ohio River, and it crosses the river into Kentucky, and they call it the Medicine Wheel. Anyway, that line runs through, and it runs through the temple anyway, and so that is an alignment that's an east-west alignment, which aligns during the equinox. And what's the importance of the equinox and the east-west alignment? Why is that always?
Because there was a belief system that was imported to Turtle Island or the Americas at about 16,000 BC, where they were trying to imprint a future belief system based off of the moving of the positions of the stars. So they wanted hundreds of generations to see that nothing nefarious was being done, was changing this belief system. But ultimately, 10,000 years later, it was going to be very nefarious, and it was known from the very beginning. So you have the impression of the east-west, so that the setup of modern astrology will take over a lot of those souls who are natural Native American Turtle Islanders, who are going to be stuck in the Turtle Island reincarnation grid that's going to be hijacked in the 17, 18, and 1900s. So literally this alignment, it's a great positive advantage, because it allowed a lot of people to go into the graduation timeline or to the upper or lower timeline. But it still ultimately caught them 10,000 years later. Again, it's imprinting of the concepts of taking propaganda from them. And then you have a lot of off-worlders who were creating local bubble realities, taking over one, two, or three size counties or one state type area. And they had their little fiefdom there. And that fiefdom there was consciousness exploration groups using spiritual expressions, creating all these different types of consciousness exploration materials out of mounds, pyramids, or buildings. But there were not actual off-worlders incorporated into the construction process. It was an entire sovereign construction with only knowledge and wisdom given to them.
Okay, so right now, are the what we view out there as the stars, the constellation, everything, that is just a hologram, and it could be true or it could not be true.
It's not really a hologram. It's a collective belief system of imprintation over 200,000 years. There are thousands of more stars that we don't see.
Yes.
They're right in front of us. We literally cannot see them.
Yes. And what do we do? What type of vision do we use to see those?
What type of vision? Again, it's allowing yourself into the deepest layer of heart space so that the fog of confusion is removed from your brain and you're in the seat of your heart. And then your eye, your third eye, looks out your heart instead of looking out the top of your forehead. That's when you're getting to see the truth.
So sometime can you, when you have more time on another show?
I'm going to do a specific show speaking on the seat of the heart and sky watching from the heart, because everyone's been a sky watcher in their lifetimes here on Earth. It's like guaranteed. So I'm going to try to trigger people's visceral memories about sky watching through the heart again. But when I was back on Revolution Radio last year, I did a series of reading shows where I had a tremendous amount of sky watching people come in, and I did an hour special specifically on sky watching. That's another thing that I'll have to see if I can pull up from the archives.
Okay, thank you very much for your information. Is there any way to have an actual date for the creation of Serpent Mound when they did that? Is it like 8 million years old, or they're just because of different timelines?
Well, in this current manifestation of timeline, it was built 21,300 years ago. But it exists on all four paradox timelines and is a gateway to all four paradox timelines. And the multidimensional energies, entities who have technology and awareness to jump timelines, made sure that it existed on all the different ones at different phases of culture. So what we see in Serpent Mound today can literally look like Serpent Mound 14, 19 million years ago on another paradox timeline, or quite literally Serpent Mound can coexist on the surface of the Pleiadian planet, the Arcturian planet, or any other planet that they want, because it's a consciousness exploration area. Literally, if you're in the area and you can become a consciousness explorer at a high protected Earth dream rate.
Okay, and the four paradox timelines, I've been wanting to ask you on that. Is the idea to bring the four timelines into one timeline? Is that
No. It was to take the best things that worked and to put them all onto one timeline and take all the things that didn't work and take them off. Do you understand that?
Not exactly. The timeline that we're talking on right now, the physicality timeline, that's the most dense timeline, right? And the rest of them are more.
We're actually on a lighter. We're on a lighter timeline now, because we don't have false timelines attached to us anymore since 2011. We're on the lightest timeline we have been on in millions and millions and millions of years. That's why nothing's happening now. The system can't manifest anything. It doesn't have the strength to. It's cannibalizing its own energy right now, where it never had to do that before. So the four previous timelines, think of it as it's a best of five, and those things that worked really good for you on the other ones, you wanted to duplicate them on the master timeline on the fifth. So that if you're here to do positive or negative, all of the different plays that were wonderful for you before still existed on this one, but just have to figure out how to make them all link through this Swiss cheese of perceived time. And that's why you have an amalgamation of 10,300 different species here, all stuck, because they all put an all-in card game here.
Yes.
And they're all trying to bring in their best agents, their best concepts, their best pieces of propaganda, their best pieces of technology. And a lot of them, their plans succeeded. They got here, but they don't have the equipment they want. It's stuck on another timeline, stuck on another dimension. And that's why travelers from the future came back here as our Unity Consciousness representative, because there is so much lost technology on planet Earth and on the moon that is negatively affecting billions of beings throughout the galaxies. It's karmically entangled with them, the archaeology here.
Andrew, isn't all of that information written within the DNA of humanity? Isn't that accessible?
It is, but is it perceivable? Is it understandable? The information is there. I'm one of a few people as a conscious expression, as a living being, not channeling. It's me. And there are other people that do something very similar. It's, again, endurance and perception and understanding, but it's everyone's birthright to do that. But just like studying, I'd say if you want to become a musician and learn what A clodes and clef notes and whole notes are, that's the beginning. But if you want to be a master like anyone else, you've got to spend the time, effort, energy, and expression within it so you can begin to see that the skill is literally what determines how much you can perceive and understand. Because you have infinite perception there through your heart, and when you're at that connection to your DNA, you understand and have a knowingness, but it is still your I am presence choice to begin to say section one, section two, section three, do I want to know about this? You literally have to do it. And that's where people are stuck. Where do I start? And it's so hard starting on yourself.
Right. And not to jump back, but the four timelines, and you were saying there's a fifth. So are we trying to take the four and
we're on
create
the fifth now?
Fifth? Okay, so we're on the fifth, and the other four timelines still exist.
Yes, but they have an end. They have an end date where it made a destruction of Earth, and the social blue body structure broke down, and everyone left and evacuated the galactic ascension machine as a complete failure, which caused a paradox. That means all other karmic resolutions of all other timelines and dimensions and all other universes suddenly failed, and that means there was an uncreational event. Poof, we start over back to the beginning.
Yes, yes. So then that created timeline two, and then timeline three, and then timeline four?
Correct. And each time, different beings who knew that there are five, I've got 25,000 pedophiles over here that are worthless over there, and I need a system of domination and control over here now. Let me rip your ass out of time and put you here. And I don't care about the side effects to you. Or I need defenders. I need mathematicians. I need good guys here. Rip them out of time and put them over there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's harsh.
Well, I know that we're the ones that making that decision. I've seen that many times of making those harsh decisions. You know, you have to look it right in the eye and decide,
and
not
blink.
Where you want it. Right, exactly. And when you see something from a higher reality, it's a different decision than when you're muddled in it, directly in it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. So I know that you had spoken at one time that the end game or whatever that you were not disclosing. Someone asked you something about that. So my thing, okay, we're the fifth timeline. So how many more times are we doing this? How many more?
Is this the last time?
Is this going to be?
This is the last time.
Okay. This last time, does it have a time frame? Does it have?
Yes, because it had a multidimensional end date from the very beginning. Again, this is about what when we see timelines, we got to realize we already created the end, and then we created the beginning simultaneously, and it was about the end and the beginning, the end going in reverse and the beginning going forward and meeting somewhere so that a past, present, and future unity consciousness expression of Earth can begin expressing what was actually resolved karmically on a global scale, on a galactic scale, or on a universal scale. Because the whole point of the galactic ascension machine with the 66 planets in it is to resolve all karma created from all timeline genocides from the 66 primary creating planets of genocide. And they're literally trying to return the experience of quadrillions of beings from 54 million years ago And it took a machine of quantum energy of planets interacting, an interaction of spiritual commerce to get that done so people could get their experience back. And when it created massive paradoxes that affected other universes, they said this has to be the last time. If the Galactic Ascension Machine fails, which it won't because the Prime Creator already did the audit on March 23rd, 2013, and since that point, we've had over 700 million walk-ins come into this planet and begin to replace the entire spiritual commerce market, as well as the way the archons do business with false information, as well as the way they insert specific ancestral karma into specific souls. They cannot directly target a specific soul. They can target a whole soul family now, but not a specific soul like they were before. So much of their the targeting technology that they have, they're really not allowed to use it anymore, because every time they use, they will, another walk-in will come and begin replacing their infrastructure. And this is what the archons realize now. That's why the compression field that's in the astral world is so detrimental to them. That's why they've been manifesting and harvesting psychic parasites here on Earth, because they can no longer import them from our astral world. Because the really good ones have already been kicked out of our solar system.
So is the healing process a matter of dying and resurrecting?
No. Death is an illusion.
No.
Okay. Healing is when you make a choice to be in perfect, radiant blueprint of health based off of your DNA expression and full awareness. And how one manifests that through disciplines and actions is their personal belief system and choice.
Beautiful.
All right. I've got another caller there.
Answers a lot. Thank you. Love you,
brother. You are really welcome, man. That was a really cool question. Thank you.
Okay. Indeed. So shall I bring another caller?
Yep, Jennifer, bring on the next caller.
Okay. Jennifer from Boulder. On line one.
Jennifer, are you there?
Hello.
How are you doing
today? Yes, I'm here. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. So how can I help you today?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say thank you for all the work that you do. I know you put in lots of hours to get this show moving, and I personally thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you.
And I'm calling to hopefully get a reading, but I also have questions, so we can go either way.
Okay, so why don't we do questions, because we're only going to go a little bit over time today, but we are going to be doing setup readings here through the League of Consciousness Explorers. So what are your actual questions you have?
Well, I actually have some questions about is there any of those like the mounds or anything like that? Are there any close to Colorado or close to where I live here in Boulder?
There's tunnel systems all throughout there. All throughout
Colorado,
Nevada.
Okay, so what would be the closest one to Boulder? That I could go and visit?
Like mounds over there? I mean, I don't know what's public to visit over there. You can literally just type Colorado mound building and the mounds in Google and see which ones are open to the public. Uh-huh. I mean, there'll be Hopi mounds.
Okay,
it's a matter of literally if the people have made them open to the public or not. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one within 5 miles of you.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And then also, with
the
flood that happened
up here. As well as there are pyramids in
the
Colorado Rockies, too.
Oh, sorry.
You know, there are actual pyramids.
You said there's
pyramids? Yeah, there's over 2,000 pyramids in the United States alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where are the ones in Colorado?
If you know where Denver is, where the Denver airport is, due north, about 75 miles. There is a massive pyramid mound that was built at about 26,000 years ago that was taken over by an Air Force base. I don't think you can take that. I'm looking at it right now. That's an energy facility. There's one in Missouri. There's one throughout Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, throughout the South. These are Mesoamerican Incan type pyramids, step pyramids. Best thing to do is just to go right to your local map, your local Google, and start saying what's in my local area, and you'd be surprised what's there. You'd be surprised. Get out there and look.
Okay, so if you were, if you're to go to one of these sites to, you know, do energy work or, you know, what is the best, like, I mean, you know, what,
I got a question
what should
for
we
you.
Do when
why,
we go
why,
there?
Why do everybody want to go to these places? Why do you want to go?
I think I want to go because my energy feels like it's kind of all over the place. It feels like it would be a good place to center and to commune with the parts of myself that I'm having a hard time getting in touch with.
Absolute opposite happens when you go to these places. It stirs your energy up.
Really?
The crap that you haven't dealt with in 20 years gets stirred up. Oh, yeah. Because that's what they're meant to do. They were sacred spaces. And when one comes in a non-sacred manner that hasn't followed the traditions of the ancestors there previously, you come in polarity and you bring all of your negative psychic information with you in unawareness and literally dump it on the place. And it gives you back an answer to that.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So I feel like I've just been being called on a pilgrimage for quite some time.
Right. Okay.
The answer is you got a pilgrimage to these places.
Right.
You don't just drive there and say, I'm here. You literally cleanse yourself before
and
say,
I'm a
pilgrim. Yeah, it's a full journey.
Okay. So you're talking about cleansing yourself, well, obviously, you know, psychically and emotionally and physically before you go to these sites.
Correct. And the journey there, too.
So on the journey there, you're also cleansing.
Yes.
Okay, so is there something that...
Excuse me, got a few people from the league calling in. But sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I was just wondering if when you are getting ready to leave for these for a pilgrimage, what kind of protection and how would you put protection around yourself as far as, you know, if for energies that you, you know,
well,
so that you know which ones
are
yours that you're clearing.
The whole point of purging, the whole point of being on the pilgrimage is during that process you create those. So that when you get to the space, there's already sacred space in your heart. And the final part of the pilgrimage is at these speckless spaces to find that 5 square meters or 7 square feet that is manifested sacred space on Earth that is allowing your DNA body to be unified with Earth in that sacred space of communal wisdom to have an experience. And when it's done, that sacred space may not even be there anymore. It'll move a few miles away. The whole point of literally the pilgrimage is to get there and allow your heart space to lead you where the sacred space is, to co-create sacred space, have a safe experience, and then return home still protected because you did the work in the beginning that made sure the entire trip from the moment you took your first step from your home to the last step that you took your home, you protected yourself before you even left.
Mm.
So it's literally about seeing the whole trip, preparing for the whole trip, purging for the whole trip, knowing at some point you're going to be in a car or an airplane and sending love to your future selves that are going to be going through this. And a reminder, when you get home and you put your hand on that doorknob coming home, that there is nothing negative waiting for you. You don't want to walk back into the same soup of energy you left.
Right. So you have to clean up your stuff at home before you go on your pilgrimage.
That's the whole point. Okay. That's why so many of these sacred places like Mount Shasta or Mount Big Bear or any of these other places, even Sedona, get really, really dirty. Uh-huh. Because people come there and in unawareness and have no idea they're dumping tens of thousands of years of their crap on that land.
Yeah, because you think you're only going and dumping a lifetime. You don't realize you're dumping, you know, lots of lifetimes.
Awesome.
When you
so we are going to move on to the next caller. Thank you very much. That was some really, really good questions.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have Chris from Calgary coming to the line.
Hi, Chris from Calgary. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Andrew?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, and what can I help you with?
I was curious. I just got the email that you're late, so hopefully this wasn't already asked, but I was curious if if there's any truth to Barack Obama being a fair, like being genetically altered to be from a clone of a pharaoh.
You're asking about are you asking about the fact that they stood him in front of one of the foot of the Sphinx and they showed a picture of a pharaoh with big ears from 4,000 years ago?
Well,
that was actually in mainstream news in 2008. And that's where the nature of that story begins.
Right. And well, also I know that Freeman, from Freeman perspective, he talks about just looking at Akhenaten and then just like taking, I've done this myself, is just taking like two pictures and you can literally see like they looked exactly the same in person. So I was just curious about that. And if that's true, then why would they use a pharaoh as a puppet?
They're not. They're using a skin suit technology that is a DNA lineage that's been held within service of the system of domination and control, because they're seeing timelines, past, present, and future, and realized that a Barack Obama manifested on a timeline in the future on the graduation timeline, and they went and took his ass over and put him in as a president, as well as 40 or 50 that are plan B, C, E, Ds, and Fs. So it's literally the DNA lineage that he's in looks like that. It's not the soul. It's literally the lineage of the body.
So it's not the clone or anything like that.
Exactly. And that's another way of imprinting propaganda on people. Zahi Hawass, the head of the most corrupt head of Egyptology, is the one that actually pointed that out directly to Obama, the mouthpiece of the cabal himself.
Right. Okay, excellent. That clears up a lot of things. So made a lot of curious. And if you have time for one more question,
sure.
One other question, or I guess a more of a comment, was we did a reading there on Thursday, and just to point out, I thought it was a really good point, was we talked about anybody that's working with the QEG and cleanliness and how that's done, and talked about putting 5 bags of sand, or salt rather, sorry, in those spaces. And I was just wondering if you could address that to the crowd, and then I'll step off the line from there.
Sure. Anyone that's working with quantum energy machines, particularly the QEG or any of the other builds that are out there, understand that those things are paranormal machines operating on a quantum level in the quantum field. And they are absolutely very, very picky machines about the energies and motions of other people. And there's actually unity consciousness sentience in every device that ever shows over unity. And I'm dead serious about this. This means that poltergeist effects can be heavily manifested in individuals who are in the quantum field during its original creation without the proper control systems, which determine voltage, arc, speed, sound, all those other things that go into making a machine run with that doesn't need to be serviced every 6 hours or turned on and turned off. And until all those things that are incorporated there, those that are working directly with those QEGs must practice energy cleanliness at the highest levels, because it takes one angry person to walk in and dump a bunch of energy into a quantum field, and not only does it affect everyone in the room, but it actually makes the machine not work for a few weeks until people figure out how to clear it. I recommend salt as the common denominator of neutrality, as well as beginning to learn that sound builds up tremendous high frequencies from the machine. It'll imprint its energies into the walls or into your tools, and you need to regularly clear out your tools from built-up sound energy that is just stuck in the density of the metal tools that you're using. Metal is the holder of incredible amounts of energetic and spiritual frequencies. So the individual tools that you made need to be taken out, need to be put in the sunlight, need to be regularly washed and into some type of salt water to begin to neutralize the frequencies stuck in the metals. This is for the same reason why massage people tell you to take off all your metal, because it holds and holds and holds, and your tools hold all of the negative things that you may be unaware of. Like, let's say you got a $900 credit card bill, and you know you won't be able to pay it for 2 weeks, but you need $200 for this part. That credit card bill is a part of you when you are using that particular tool and part, and that frequency of that debt is now in the machine. And the machine is in over unity. It cannot process that, and it shuts down.
Great. Yeah, thanks for addressing that. That should help out a lot of people. And yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome. And Santi, you want to take to the next caller?
Absolutely. We have on the line Ralph from North Carolina.
Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Ralph. How are you doing today?
Andrew?
Yes.
I'm doing great. And I just wanted to thank you and tell you that I love you. I appreciate the work that you're doing. And I'm relatively new to your, I've been listening to you for the last few weeks. But phenomenal information. Anyway, I had a question about what's going on with the vast number of pedophiles, with the oligarchy, the elites. Is this all part of a ritual that they have to do because they're serving some entity, or is it just by happenstance all these guys happen to be, you know, get together with little kids and they're just being caught?
Nothing
at the
is
same
by
time
happenstance.
And it's kind of spurious.
Nothing is by happenstance. And those people that are caught up in the pedophilia rings, much of their soul framework has already fully given away to the archonic grid. And they aren't a single soul. They could be several souls of soul shards put into a single body. And that will determine what kind of compassion and forgiveness you're going to have for a being that you realize is 7, 8, or 12 soul shards of other beings manifested into a body that has tremendous DNA memories that were never it in the first place. And you have people that literally have created false shared souls. It's a massive violation of the universal laws. This was never meant to be incorporated on this planet. And it was because there were certain types of souls who weren't going to go through the galactic ascension machine, even though they volunteered from it from the very beginning. They just got to a point where fear took over so much that they said, I'd rather this create another paradox and everything shut down. And this has to be the last time. So many beings who had given their tacit consent in a unity conscious format 50 million, 54 million years ago, suddenly literally had false light beings in the astral world convincing them that they needed to go back to become an incredible god being. And as soon as they got there, they were stuck in an army and killed 200 lifetimes in a row until they totally forgot the fact that they were even the astral world saying no. Because that's where the betrayal of false light beings gets to be truly horrific. And one of the greatest things that we're going to have to heal, we're going to begin to learn that a lot of these pedophiles and the pedophile rings and the pedophile creators who are feeding a system of corruption so that they continue to get more people who haven't given away all their life force to the archonic grid to pull even more and more until finally more than 50% of our human population is within that destructive grid of entropy. And to break that grid is to ultimately break the archonic hold over them. And then that individual body that has been creating that, those soul shards will leave, and the original soul shard that was force incarnated there will then begin to be a part of that body and realize that it has soul shards off-world. And those are the people that are going to be quarantined, and it's then their off-world selves that will come here and begin the healing on those particular people, which could take many generations to heal.
I thought the archonic grid was being dismantled. Is that true? And does that have to happen before an ascension process happens?
It has never happened in this format because this is the end. So this was actually created from the very beginning of how to take it apart. But only us in unawareness can take it apart. That's literally once you got into the machine, the doors were locked behind you. And it's this giant multidimensional puzzle that we have to come into a unity expression to unlock. And you can only do it from within.
Okay. That sounds kind of tough. Sounds a little more difficult than, to me anyway.
It is.
Maybe it is.
They did not make this easy.
Okay.
But at the same time, they gave us all the tools to do it in blatant, obvious format. Whether it's the manifestation of a galactic historian or a healer or somebody that does telekinesis on live TV, it doesn't matter. It's still proving the infinite. You just need one person to prove the infinite publicly, worldwide. and what happens.
Hmm. Okay, well, I appreciate your taking my call, and it's very, very good to talk to you and live, and I'm going to go ahead and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, we've got one more caller, and we are going to call it an end of a show here. So the next caller is Anashka from Aberdeen, Texas. Are you there?
Hi, it's Anashka from Aberdeen, Texas. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Listen, could you talk a little bit about the significance of race relations in the United States, especially around African Americans?
What about them? They are human beings with a heart like everyone else, and there has been a series
of
propaganda not only on them, as well as the Chinese, the Native Americans. Each and every one has gone through their own process of entropy. Just because their skin is one color or their DNA body is another color, the truth is we're 10,300 plus different species amalgamated to DNA skin suits that were hijacked 54 million years ago. And there were supposed to be 170 different million soul families and skin suits families, and we're now reduced to 262,000 different types of skin suit instead of the multi-millions. So the six races, or the seven races, or actually there's 16, but there's 72 first species of Earth that also have insectoid in them, and they needed a common type of skin suit that they could put something inside that was much bigger than what the body could hold. And some of the African Americans' DNA that is connected to the DNA of the Arcturians or some of the other ones become extremely powerful bodies that can hold very powerful, powerful souls that have full awareness. And the system will take control over them because they become very powerful warriors or very powerful psychics. Just like a lot of the Native Americans become super powerful shamans right away is because they've had so many thousands of other lifetimes where they themselves did work on the future versions of themselves.
Okay, so the significance of what we're experiencing probably, you know, and have historically experienced in the United States as far as the, you know, the issues of slavery we've had in this particular country. And
we're all slaves. We're all slaves. You have never been free in the United States. Do you get that?
Okay.
Not a single person in this country, since the founding of our Spendthrift Trust as the original founding colonies, no one has ever been free. You've been a debt slave since then. And that's something we as Americans are going to have to take into our pride and begin to truly apply and see that it has been that long since we've all had true freedom. We just have the illusion. Zero calorie, zero trans fat, sucker. It's just a taste. It's nothing real. And everything that was created in between there is to keep us separate, as we are a unity species. We are not separate. Just a bunch of different skin suit technologies that work better for different DNA light bodies. We're going to look back on race relations. We'll look back on race relations and go, why did we get caught up in that drama? We're all the same.
So that's just part of the overall arcing reality
propaganda
that we're dealing
line.
With. That's just
yep.
a subpart. Okay.
Yep. It's just propaganda that has gone from generation to generation to generation and begins sticking around in your light body to make you prejudice or to make this person this bent or that type of bent. And literally the DNA lineage to start to retain it if tens of thousands of the experiences in that lineage have a particular belief system that's negative to others, which was done on purpose. That's when they reduce us from millions of DNA lineages to what we have now.
Okay, good answer. Thank you, Andrew.
You are welcome. And that is going to be the end of our show. I have put out an incredible amount of material this week. I'm also going to be doing a show tomorrow at 12 noon Pacific time on the Google Hangouts with Sasha Stone, Bill Donovan, Dan Winters, and Dr. Brooks Agnew. We are going to be talking Hollow Earth and physics and science, and we are going to be delving deep into the quantum understanding of the heart space of Hollow Earth and humanity and how it relates to our surface awakening. So everybody look forward to that. Look forward to YouTube. I want to thank everyone at BBS Radio, this giant stream, this giant amounts of people here. Thank you very much for hosting this show. I want to thank Santi and Danielle, who are in the background, for being my intrepid hosts, co-hosts. And above all, I want to thank each and everyone in the audience that is listening. Stop on by galactichistorian.com and sign up for the League of Consciousness Explorers. See what we have going. And thank you, everyone. This has been an incredibly powerful show.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.